How you guys doing this morning? All right, good, good, good. When I was in middle school, I grew up here in our church, and in our student ministries, one thing that we would do is we'd go on these things called winter retreats, okay? So what that would be is that would be like a weekend. We'd go up to some like camp up in Michigan somewhere. We'd tube, we'd do all the kind of things we'd do in the snow and stuff. But one of the things that we did that our leader, who was actually Pastor Harold, who's our Northwood campus pastor now, one of the things that he had us do is he had us go each morning. He had us go and just spend like an hour with God. Okay, I don't know what he called it or what, even if it even had a name, right? But we'd go spend an hour with God, and we'd all like disperse, right, to just to kind of be by ourselves, in the facility or in the building, and we'd go alone. We'd take our Bible and we just like pray, like that was our. We had an hour just to pray. And so for me, as a middle school kid, I'm like, man, okay, I'm at a church thing, okay? Like, I want to grow with God. Like this will be cool, you know? I kind of get some time away from everybody else. I'll just be able to, like, spend some time with God. Like this is good. I didn't do that much as a middle school kid. And so what we'd do is we'd all disperse, and I'd pick some corner, and I'd start praying, all right? I'd pray, like, intensely. It'd be like, you know, I'm praying for all my friends at school that I could think of, that they'd give their life to Jesus because I know they needed it, all right? I'd pray for all my family members. I'd pray for all the six people that I knew, and my buddy who sprained his ankle in gym class last week, I pray for him, and I pray for our church, and I pray for our youth group, and I pray for my school, and I pray for all the things going around the nation and around the world that I knew of at that point as a middle school kid. I pray for all of that stuff, and I pray for everything that was on my mind, and I'd work through every little thing, and then I would finish, and I'd feel really, really, really good about myself, and I look at the clock, and be like 6 minutes. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, dang, all right, this is hard. I'm assuming that many of you are like me in the fact that you just don't feel like praying is something that you're very good at. Like for me in my life, there's never been a time in my life where I feel like, you know, I've prayed enough. Like that's, I've just never felt that feeling. I don't know what that feeling feels like. And unlike you, right, for me, I've actually taken like college classes on prayer. Okay? Like, I have no excuse. I went to a Christian university where I was just surrounded by prayer all the time. We would pray when we went to chapel. We would pray when we were in groups. We would pray when we went to church. We would pray at the start of class. I mean, we would pray all the time. In fact, sometimes what we did is we had this was all like student-led stuff. When I was in college, they'd do these things like prayer nights, okay? So they'd go to the chapel, and it was like trying to get everybody on campus to like stop in and pray, and it was like this big old thing. And the weird thing about it is you'd walk in. First of all, you'd be like, I would never naturally plan to go necessarily, because I'm immature, okay? And but my friends, they'd always be like, hey, you going to the prayer thing? And I'm like, I'm studying to be a pastor. I guess I'll go. You know, okay, I'll go. And so I go. And we would walk in, and the weird thing about it is that it was like the saddest place on earth. All right, it was just sad. Like everybody there is so very serious, very emotional. And you walk in, you're like laughing, you're joking around, and you get in, and it's like, oh, dang. All right, what am I walking into? Like this is intense, and sometimes we do a bunch of different things in there. Sometimes we'd stand in, they'd have us like stand in a circle, and we'd take turns praying. Right, and then it would always become kind of like a competitive thing, just like kind of naturally. It's like everybody was trying to outpray the last guy. Okay, like that was a messed up prayer. I could do better than that. You try to use like big words and stuff. You're trying to impress people. Right, sometimes they'd have us holding hands. All right, it's like, oh, hold your hands. I always position myself next to the most attractive person in the group. Okay, because that's what you do in college. And inevitably, what would happen is you'd be holding hands, and I'd be holding hands with. At least one hand would be with a girl. And then she like move her thumb or something. You're like, uh-oh, we got something going on over here. What's this? You know, maybe that's what I should be praying about. I don't know. You know, you got that going on. And then people would just say weird things. I remember specifically one time that we're in there. And the guy, you know, again, I'm like, you know, there's no joy in here by any means. It's all like intensely serious. And I remember the guy who's kind of leading it, he said something, I don't even remember what he said, but it just caught me as funny. And I was sitting right on the front row, and I remember I just started laughing, and I could not stop, like for the life of me. I wasn't trying to, it was embarrassed. I was sweating. I was really praying hard. I was like, God, take this away from me. Like, why am I laughing? That's not supposed to be funny. Everybody's looking at me and how immature I am, and I am immature. And so it was just like this big thing. But like people, we are in the habit when we pray, way, we don't talk to God like how we normally talk to people that we have a personal relationship with, right? We're in a habit of, we just pray weird things sometimes. Like some of us, one of the things that we pray for is we just say, God, be with us. You ever heard people pray that? We do this, right, sometimes. And it's like, well, duh. Like, you don't have to pray that. Like, it's the last thing that Jesus says before he goes back up to heaven to his followers. He's like, guess what? I will be with you, all right? So that's not something we need to pray about necessarily. We pray things like, let this food nourish our bodies. You've heard that before, all right? Which sounds good. The first thing I have with that, number one, is we never use the word nourish, at least I don't, with any other thing except for in that specific prayer, you know? So it's like specific God talk. And then it's like, well, that's what food does. Duh. You know, I don't think you got to ask God for this to work the way that it already works. And then some of us, we might be sitting in front of like a supersized Wendy's meal, you know, and you're praying for God to nourish. And like, I don't think it works that way. Like, I don't think that's going to fix it. You know, sometimes what we do when we pray is we just repeat ourselves like over and over and over again. Some of us, we use the, like, Lord. We say, Lord this, Lord that, Lord, you know, Lord, 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 Lord. Some of us, what we end up doing, actually, I have a friend who he says, Father God, okay? Father God this, Father God that, Father God, would you do this? Father God, we need you to do this, Father God this. And sometimes when I'm listening to him pray, I'm like, dude, I wonder if God ever gets like annoyed by like this. Like I would, you know what I mean? Like if someone were talking to me and they're like, Zach, could you do this? Zach over here, Zach this, then I'd be like, I know my name, okay? You don't have to keep repeating my name. It's cool, all right? Talk to me like how you'd normally talk to a normal person. Like we all do little things like this because we all treat prayer as just a little bit different when it comes to communicating with somebody. And I've never met anybody who feels like they're an expert prayer, okay? I've never met anybody who says, you know what I think my problem is? I think I just spend too much time praying. I think that's my issue, all right? I've never heard that before. As many of you guys know, we have been in a series over the last few weeks where we are looking at several of the most well-known truths and kind of foundational verses in the Bible, most well-known and famous verses in the Bible. And so most of these, I would think that most of you guys are at least somewhat familiar with some of the verses that we have gone through. Some of you guys have a lot of these memorized, and I hope you do, all right, because that's good. But today, we're going to be looking at a famous series of verses that many of you have quoted since you were a kid and repeated since you were a kid, and it actually revolves around praying, all right? And the way it goes is this. One day, Jesus, as he was praying, his inner circle of followers, they are watching him pray, and they are listening to the things that he prays for, and one finally has enough courage to ask. He says, hey, Jesus, question, okay, we see what you're doing here. Could you teach us how to pray? Like, is that cool? All right, can you teach us how to pray? See, apparently, just saying, after watching and listening to Jesus pray, his disciples, his main group of guys, I think they felt a lot like us. And the fact that they realized that they had been doing it wrong. And these are good Jewish boys, all right? They've been taught to pray their entire life. These guys have probably prayed, all right, every day their entire life. And what they're realizing is that, man, there's just a big difference between how Jesus prays and how we pray. Like, it just doesn't match up. Like, Jesus' prayers are just different, man. All right, like there's something special going on between him and God that I just don't seem to have. And they're looking at, they're listening, and they're watching him. They're like, man, his prayers just seem like less scripted. All right, there's more passion there. It's almost like, can you believe it? It's almost like Jesus actually enjoyed praying. All right, even more than enjoying, it's almost like Jesus like craved prayer. And so they ask. And instead of teaching them how to pray, Jesus begins by teaching them how not to pray. This is what he says in Matthew chapter 6. He says, whenever you pray, all right, I think he's like, sure, I'll teach you how to pray. That's cool. He says, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Real quick, all right, Jesus never had tolerance for pretenders, all right? He had no tolerance for pretenders out there, all right? He says, don't pray like them. Don't pray like the religious leaders who want everybody to hear all the things that they have to pray and how good and professional that they are at praying. He says, because they love to pray. And they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. He says, truly, I tell you that they have their reward. See, here's Jesus. He says, here's the deal. All right, don't pray like all the religious people that have these super fancy prayers. All right, it sounds good. It looks good. I get it. All right, but God has no patience for that type of prayer. He says, and God won't reward them someday, meaning, right, they got nothing more coming to them than what God has already given them. And he's saying, don't pray like them. He says, but you, he says, when you pray, right? You pray, right? Like think about this. When do you pray? Do you have a set time? Do you have kind of like a schedule? Or it doesn't have to be like that. But do you set aside time each day to talk to God? All right, do you do that? Or do you got all the other things going on in life that kind of gets kind of shoved off to the back burner? All right, is prayer important to you? Like talking to God, is that an important thing? See, here's Jesus. It's like he assumes that we as his followers pray. And he says, but when you pray, the way you pray should be different. He says, I want you to go into a private room. You could shut your door and then pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you. Don't think about how all the people view you when you pray, and if I'm a good prayer or not, or if I'm saying the right things, or if I use the fancy big words or whatever. He's like, no, don't do that. All right, why don't you go pray in secret where nobody else is watching you, so you don't have to impress anybody where God sees you. All right, but the thing really that the disciples would have gotten hung up on is this idea of God as their father. Now, what I mean is that the father was not necessarily a new concept for the Jewish people. I mean, they knew from the Old Testament that God was considered like a father, right? But the word that Jesus uses here is different. It's a very personal term, right? Meaning it's almost like daddy, right? It's like what my daughter Lizzie, she calls me. She says, hey, daddy. It's more personal. It's like maybe papa or I think really the best way to translate is just plain dad. See, the followers, they would have been standing there like, whoa, Jesus, back up real quick to your father and your father. What do you mean by that? Like, we totally get, Jesus, that God is your father, all right? Because you're God's son. We don't exactly know what that means yet, but we know, like, that's a thing. And so he's your father. That's cool. But God's not like our dad, right? Like, that's not how it's supposed to be. Like, he's our king. Yeah, he's our God for sure. All right, he's our Lord. Yes, we understand that. But dad? Is that really like the relationship that we have with him? And here's Jesus, and he's like, yes, right? You need to view God as a dad. Like, here's Jesus. He's saying, I want you to go find a place where you can have a private conversation with you and your dad. No distractions, just you and God. And I just want you to talk to him. Right? Now, you get what that's what prayer is. I think a lot of us, you know, maybe we've been in whatever church, you know, all our life, and prayer is just like kind of this like ritual thing that we kind of do and we're supposed to do and we don't do enough and all this stuff, right? But prayer, right, it's not like a memorized words. It's not like a certain amount of words or a certain type of words. It's nothing like that. Prayer is just us opening up our hearts and just talking to God. We don't even have to do it out loud. Like, he knows our every thought. It's just us spending time with God and talking to him. And here's Jesus saying the best way to approach God is as a perfect dad, one who sees you and one who listens to you. All right, think about that for a second. Isn't that crazy? All right. Like, how would your prayers change if you truly believed that God sees you when you pray? Right, like, how would your prayers change when you, if you actually truly believed that he was there and that he was intently listening to you and that he was, like, genuinely interested in what you have to say? How would that change how you talk to him? Because that's reality. And Jesus is trying to get us to understand that. He says, when you pray, don't babble, all right, like the Gentiles, since they imagine that they'll be heard for their many words. You ever pray with somebody who's like super long-winded? You know what I'm talking about? All right, and it's not like they have a lot to pray about. That's like a different thing. But I'm saying they just kind of go on and on and on without much thought. Like, they kind of repeat themselves over and over and over again. When I was growing up, my dad's side of the family, they lived in Colorado, and so we'd go there for like Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, and all those big holidays and stuff. And I remember how we'd do it is we'd all pray before the meal, like a lot of you guys do, and like at dinner at night, or maybe it was a big dinner for Thanksgiving or whatever, and we'd all like hold hands, okay? And then my grandpa, who always sat at the head of the table, who was not religious by any means, all right? He didn't go to church. He was not into church. He disliked church, in fact. But what he would do is he would look over at my dad and he would say, Kevin. and then he would pray, and then we'd go eat. Like, that's what we did, all right? Like, that's how it did. And so, but I remember, and so that's how it always was. He'd look over at my dad, he would just say, Kevin, and my dad would lead us all in prayer. But what would end up happening, or what happened once, this only happened once in my life, I was like in maybe late middle school, early high school, or whatever, and I'll never forget it. But we're all doing our thing. I think it was for like a Thanksgiving or something. We're all holding hands. We're, you know, doing what we're supposed to do. And we're all waiting for my grandpa, who's at the head of the table, to look over at my dad and say, Kevin. Instead of doing that, he says, let's pray. And my grandpa gave about a four-minute, maybe the most professional prayer I've ever heard in my entire life. I don't know where he got it. I know he did not come up with it, all right, because it was intense. I was just like, we're all like peeking, you know, like, grandpa's praying. I've never heard, I didn't know he knew how to do this, but this is intense, and this is like professional prayer type stuff, you know, and he gave us, he was using crazy words, he was using words I didn't even know, he'd be like, you know, like, I remember it was like when the tempests of life come in, you know, I'm like, what's a tempest? I don't know, that's crazy, right? This, you know, it's just that type of thing, but he gave this big, long, recited, memorized professional prayer, and we're like, amen, all right, now it's time to eat. But here's Jesus. Jesus is saying, don't pray like that. That's not, there's no connection there, right? That's not how to pray. Don't be like those people. And the reason why we don't have to go on and on and on and on and on is because he says, your Father knows the things that you need before you ask him. Now that should get us wondering. We're like, okay, well, hey, hold up, Jesus, right? If God already knows what I'm going to ask him, which makes sense, because if God were real, wouldn't he already know everything? Like, if God, right? Right? Then why do we need to ask? Then why should we even pray? And I think that's the question that Jesus wanted his followers to consider. Right? Now he's got them right where he wanted them. And his followers, they want to know how to pray, but Jesus wants them to know why to pray. So now he's got them all thinking. He's got him right. He's so genius when he does this. He says, okay, now you're looking for the why. And now he says, therefore, you should pray like this. And Jesus gives us a model prayer that most of us have all heard of before. Have you ever heard of the Lord's Prayer? All right, we heard that. How many of us have either memorized this or recited this in our old church, you know, every Sunday or whatever like that? And you guys, we've all said this before. Okay, most of us, that's cool. It's funny, it's kind of interesting that many of us, what we have done with the Lord's Prayer, that's just a title that we have given it, is that we take Jesus' model prayer, and then we do exactly what Jesus is teaching us not to do with it. Kind of weird, right? How we do that? All right? We mindlessly repeat it over and over and over again with no emotion and no thought, and then we think we're good, all right? And what Jesus is like, but there's no connection with that. That is not how you are supposed to pray. And then we do it with his own thing, right? It's funny because I learned this when I was in football in high school. And you know, it'd be like right before a game on game night. We'd all take a knee. We'd all be in the locker room. And then somebody would come up and they'd lead us in the Lord's Prayer. And we'd all repeat it. We'd all have it memorized. And, you know, at the end, it's like, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And then be like, let's go, you know. And then it'd be like, blank them, blank that, blank that, all this swearing and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if this is how it's supposed to go. You know what I mean? See, we treat it like a magic spell in the sense of it's like, you know, I'm going to say this thing and now he's got me. All right, we just hook God in. All right, it's like we manipulate God in that way. It's like, God, now you're with us when we play. You know, we do this. And see, Jesus, he never says pray this. Not once. What does he say? He says pray like this. He doesn't say repeat after me. He doesn't say, hey, you should pray this every day. He doesn't say when you go to church, this is what you guys should be praying. No, that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying you should pray like this. And he says, therefore, all right, this is how you should do it. He says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, in which case, again, right there, all right, he doesn't say our Mary who's in heaven, or I don't know what they say, all right, Mary. It doesn't say saints. You're not praying to some saint. Right? He doesn't even say, dear Jesus. Is that crazy? Right? That's not how we're supposed to pray either. What he does is he invites us to address our prayers directly to God, directly to our heavenly dad. And again, that's not what his followers were used to. That was extremely personal. They were not used to the idea of God being a personal God. God is king, yeah. God is judge, sure. God is almighty ruler, of course. He was all those things. But here, Jesus is saying, hey, if you are a true follower of God, don't you get it? You have the same access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that I do. Now, sometimes we don't feel it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Believe it or not, can you believe it? All right, sometimes I have days where I'm just like a bad person. All right, I'm just mean, man. All right, maybe it's because I'm not feeling good. Maybe I'm stressed out about something. There's really no excuse for it. All right, but what will happen is I'll wake up and something will happen, you know, and my kids will be annoying. And I'll be like, dude, you guys are so annoying. I won't tell them that. But inside, I'm like, they're so annoying, you know. And then I'll be mean to Kate, and I'll be short with staff here at the church. And I'll just have a bad attitude. It's one of those, like kick the dog on the way out, you know, type of days. You get what I'm saying? All right, it was just like, you're just bad. It's just bad. And on those days, all right, don't look at me that way. Some of you guys are like, dog. You know, I mentioned an animal. Kate, being mean to her is not a big deal. But the dog, you know. All right, don't look at me like that. You guys had those days too, okay? Judgmental eyes, I see. But on those days, I don't feel like spending much time in prayer, right? Like it's almost like I feel embarrassed. It's like, dude, okay, all right, God, like, you know, maybe we'll try again tomorrow, okay? Because this is not a great day for me, all right, to be talking to you. And the feeling that I have is like, I just don't feel like God wants to talk to me today because it's just not a good day. And it's embarrassing because he's seen everything that I do and he knows my thoughts and he knows everything. And so I just like, it's just awkward, right? And so I don't, it's messed up on my part. But just as bad, there's other days where I'm like, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, dude, I'm feeling good. You know, sun's shining, birds are chirping, everything's good. I got a great attitude. I wake up, I pray for my family. All right, I pray for a list of people that I have in my head that I hope give their lives to Jesus. I start, you know, I read my Bible. I kind of wake up doing this in the morning. I have a great attitude. I sing Jesus songs because I got Blaine's dang voice stuck in my head, you know, after Sunday. And I'm thankful for everything, and I help people, and I try to do all the right stuff. And then at night, I go to pray, and the feeling that I kind of have is like, I hope you saw what I did today. You know what I mean? Like, I was a pretty good person today. Did you see all my good stuff? I know you want to talk to me today. You're feeling like talking to me today, right, God? See, both ways of thinking are so wrong. Whether we have a good day or we've been a jerk all day, we have full access to God because Jesus is saying he is your dad. For me growing up, with my dad being the pastor, at one point, in late elementary school, it kind of switched where our church was growing enough that he needed a secretary just to kind of run interference, meaning people would stop in a lot and they'd want to talk to him about something that really, a lot of times, it wasn't even important or anything like that. But he wouldn't get his work done, you know, which is important. And so he needed to be interrupted less. And so we had a secretary that like kind of ran interference, was like, hey, you know, how important is it? Like that type of thing. But for me, as his kid, like if I was there at the church, never once did I ask the secretary, hey, could I go in and talk to my dad? I never did, right? Never once did I ask the secretary, hey, could I schedule an appointment for next week sometime? You know, I'd really like to like talk to that guy. Is that cool? No, what I did is I walked right by, gave him the peace sign, and walked straight into my dad's office, you know? Like, and why did I do that? Because he was my dad, right? I have full access to him, or at least I felt that way. Maybe he didn't feel that way, but I did. See, Jesus is trying to get us to understand. He's saying you need to approach God as your dad anytime, anywhere, any place, on the good days and the bad days. He's saying it does not matter. So you start off by recognizing it's the approach that you come in. You're saying, our Father, or maybe Dad in heaven, your name be honored as holy. This, by the way, is the worship part. See, we approach our perfect dad not as casual maybe as we do our best friends or maybe our dads that we have here, right? We approach our Heavenly Father as a perfect dad, yet with the utmost respect. Again, and that's the worship part. He goes on. He says, your kingdom come and your will be done. What about my will? right? What about my kingdom? What about my life? What about my job, my kids, my problems, my son who's not talking to me, my financial issues? What about my bills that need paid? What about my car that is broke again? Like, what do I do with all that? Like, isn't that what we pray for? Right? Like, that's what we're praying for. It's all about us. It's all about our little kingdom. And here he says, no. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom. See, many of us, that's what we reduce prayer to, is we reduce prayer to just informing God about all of our wants, our needs, and our circumstances. And if we're feeling really good that day, right, sometimes we pray for the wants, needs, and circumstances of the people that we care about the most. But it's mostly us, right? See, Jesus is like, man, you're doing it wrong. When you talk to your heavenly dad, he's saying you need to approach him from the angle of like, hey, God, you're first, and I'm somewhere behind. It's this idea that you go to him, and it's like, and I think this is kind of the hardest thing. It's surrendering our will, not imposing our will. It's the idea that you're going to God and saying, hey, I have some things to ask God, but here's the deal. Before I ask these things, I want you to know that I want what, in all these circumstances that I'm going to talk to you about, I want your will to be done in all these circumstances. I want your will to trump my will every single time. See, that's the part that we usually skip when we pray to God. And remember, Jesus has already assured us at this point that God already knows all about our fragile, temporary little kingdoms. And so we really don't have to start there like we normally do. He says, start with his kingdom. And then you can start asking for stuff. And it's like, okay, all right, about time, it's our turn. Finally, he says, give us, all right, this. We have a whole list of things that we ask him to give us. He says, but give us our daily bread. You're like, wait, what? All right, that's something that we don't really have to worry about. We're so used to having our basic needs covered, okay? Although, if you think about it, many things that we depend on the most, we have no control over. You get that? I don't think we realize that all the time. Like, if you're hungry, what do? It's cool, okay? You go to the store, you get some groceries. All right, that's totally fine. All right, but you're not the one who puts the food on the shelves, okay? You actually have no control over the store having food. It's the fragile system that we live in that provides that, and you have no control over the system, and that can all be taken in a second. See, maybe even for you, you've had rough patches in your life where you've been reminded just how dependent we are on God. All right, not with food, because we live where we live at the time that we live in it. All right, but maybe it's with your job. You got let go. You weren't expecting it. All of a sudden, all right, the money coming in is just gone. Maybe it's some financial situation that kind of hits you, and it's like, man, you had all your trust, you had all your hope in your bank account, and now all of a sudden that has dwindled. Or maybe, you know what, the thing that I think all of us will go through if we haven't yet, what about our health? All right, something that we have no control necessarily over, and we assume that it's always going to be there. See, maybe you've experienced some of these in the past. Maybe you're experiencing this right now. See, what Jesus is saying is he's saying after you have surrendered your will to him, then feel free to ask for your basic needs, not necessarily your wants, because you need to remember that you are dependent on him for everything. He says, then you can ask for him to forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. In which case, you're like, wait, what? What do you mean? What's that mean? Right? Forgive us our debts. Of course, God's going to forgive us. He's a forgiving God. But what do you mean we have to, as we also have forgiven our debtors? Like you don't know what she said about me. You don't know what he did to me. Like, you don't understand. See, what he was trying to get us to understand is to ask God to forgive you when you refuse to give your ex-husband or your ex-wife or your boss or your sister or your mom or dad, or maybe it's your former friend, or maybe it was even your best friend at one point, right? Like, to ask God to give you the same thing that you are unwilling to do for somebody else. All right, Jesus is like, man, my followers don't do that. Right? That's not what a follower of Jesus looks like. Remember, Jesus had no tolerance for pretenders. And so it's this idea that we go to God and we're like, okay, God, please cancel my debt because I am messed up, I am jacked up, I'm a horrible, terrible person, I am a sinner, right? And so please cancel my debt. And so you did that, and so of course I'm canceling the debt of others who sin against me. By the way, this, just pointing out, is the part of the surrendering your will to his will thing that we often skip. And if you want to see how serious Jesus is about this, go read verse 14 and 15, all right, which we're not getting to today. Go read that. That'll freak you out a little bit. See, suddenly, you get to this part. of his prayer that maybe you've been used to reciting your entire life, all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm not sure if I want to pray right. You know, like this ain't going as good as I thought it was going to go. He says, then, after you ask for forgiveness, he says, then you can ask for him not to bring us into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. Right now, we could spend whole Sundays on temptation, and we have. But just to ask real quick, who usually leads you into temptation? All right, sure, I think all of us, it might be people around us that maybe kind of do, the people we hang out with, whatever. All right, but isn't it usually you? Like, don't you usually lead you into temptation? All right, just something to think about. See, here's Jesus. He's saying, ask that you're not led into temptation. All right, ask that you have to deal with that today. Jesus is saying, ask that you won't be tempted. Remember, Jesus knew all about temptation because Jesus himself was tempted for days and days and weeks. See, Jesus is saying, if you're going to ask for things, which we all do, he's saying you need to ask for the stuff that actually matters. You need to ask for your basic needs, for forgiveness, and you need to ask with help with sin. And then guess what Jesus does? He ends it. You're like, whoa, what about the prayer requests? He forgot taking prayer requests? Aren't we supposed to do that? All right? He doesn't do that. Maybe, just maybe, prayer's not about all about us getting what we want. By the way, sometimes we get bent out of shape when God doesn't answer the prayer or answer a request or whatever that we had. He doesn't answer it the way that we told him to answer it. But I've said this before. I think God answers your prayers the way that you would answer your prayers if you knew what God knew. All right? Does that make sense? I think God answers your prayers the exact same way that you would answer your prayers if you knew what God knew. See, this pattern for prayer that Jesus gives us here, it's not a secret formula. It's not about receiving. It's more about re-syncing. See, a lot of us, what we end up doing is we pray these little weak prayers that only address our temporary inconveniences. It's just true. All right, sometimes, like, we do prayer requests here. I mean, Mike and I and the staff, we go through each week and we pray for every single one of your guys' requests. When you jot that down on the back of your card, which is cool, okay? That's fine. It helps us kind of stay in touch and everything, and we want to pray for you, and we should. All right, that's good. That's all throughout the Bible, by the way. But sometimes what we'll get, and I'm not, like, putting anybody down, so if this was you at one point, take this with a grain of salt. But, like, sometimes I'll get a request that's like, you know, please pray for my cat's health problems. And you're like, oh, that's a bummer. Okay, cat's got health problems, all right? And I get that you love your cat. By the way, that's your first problem, okay, because your cat don't love you back, and that's just how a cat is. It's true. And I'm not saying that you can't ask God to fix your cat. All right, I'm not saying that. But the way I'm thinking, I'm just like, oh, man, okay. All right. Is that the most important thing in your life out of all the things you could possibly ask for in your entire little world? Like, that's the most important thing in your life at that moment that you are going up to the God of the universe to ask for? Is your cat's hurt foot? You know what I mean? Like, that's it? Like, everything in your life is going so good that that's your worst thing that you got going on. Like, you got nothing else more important than that. You know, I think we are in the habit of praying just these little weak, wimpy, lame prayers. We ask for just these little things. It all revolves around temporary comfort for us and the people that we love. And I'm just saying, we just don't pray big enough. See, think about it. What if God, let me ask you this. What if God answered yes to every single one of your prayers last week? Would the world be any different? I mean, think about it. Would the world be any different? Yeah, you got a great parking spot and the weather got warmer, so thank you for whoever prayed for that. And your team won. Go Buckeyes. Appreciate that as well. All right? You knew that was coming at some point. All right? And you found your keys, so that's awesome. And you passed the test and your cat's foot stopped hurting. Great for the cat, you know? And so all that. But like, is that it? If God said yes to every single one of your prayers from last week, right, is that it? Is that the biggest difference that we make? Like, are all your relationships fixed? Or is our church reaching more people? or are the people that you care about the most, who Jesus would say, not me, all right? Jesus would say, would be on the path to hell, all right? Would they have surrendered their life to Jesus finally? Do you have any more wisdom this week than you had last week? All these things that we're supposed to be praying for? Or not? See, as a Christian, prayer is like the oxygen that we breathe. Man, it's something that we desperately need. It's something that helps us. It helps us grow. It helps us live. And so my challenge for you today is this, simple, okay? Is that you would go home today, do whatever you got going on. I know we're all busy, we all got stuff. I get that. But you would find some time alone and just talk to your heavenly dad. Just talk to him. Right? You don't have to go in with an agenda. You don't have to go in with, well, I got all these big words I want to throw in there. He doesn't care about that. That does not impress him. I'm just saying, have a heart-to-heart with God. And you know what? You should try it Jesus's way. I actually heard this from another pastor, all right? But he breaks it down well. He says, try this. Just try this, okay? Number one, address God as your father, meaning address him as dad. This is the relational aspect. Okay? He's not some distant king, all right? He's your dad who loves you and cares about you. He says, and then after you address that way, that's the approach into your prayer. He says, then declare his greatness, meaning worship him. When was the last time you just worshiped him when it came to talking to him, all right? He says, after that, then it's just, you know, surrender your will to him, which is the part that we don't like the most. You know, it's the part that we like the least. It's an issue for us, all right? Meaning your will is above my will. Your stuff's better than my stuff. And so whatever I think in this situation doesn't necessarily matter. This is what I think is the best thing. But really, you trump me every time. And then it's acknowledging your dependence on him. That's the resyncing part that we need to do. And really, that's in three areas. Number one, we're asking for provision, meaning, God, please provide me with my needs, not necessarily my wants. And then number two, it's our pardon, right? It's the God, I need your forgiveness because I am a messed up, jacked up, horrible, terrible person. And I need that. And then it's asking God for our protection, not from, you know, oh, I'm taking a trip this week, or not from, you know, oh man, my coworkers, or this person hates me, or whatever it might be. No, this is so much deeper than that. It's from our enemy. Partly, it's from ourselves. So some of us, we just need to start somewhere. Some of us, we just never like started somewhere. All right, we throw out these, like, rattle off these little quick prayers when we need God's help, like, in an instant. All right, but we've never gone beyond that. Some of us, we just need to be real with God for, like, the very first time. And really, that's all it is. You just go in and just being real with him. It's like, okay, God, I'm talking to you. Okay, like that guy on stage at church told me to do this, so I'm, like, trying it. But, you know, it sounds like I'm talking to, it feels like I'm talking to air. I don't even know, like, you know, I don't know what to say. But, God, I know you're there. And I know you're a good dad. And if your words are true, I know that you're listening and that you see me. It's just starting it. But we need to pray. We could pray for a long time. We could pray for a short time. We could pray at home, at work, in the car, in class. We could pray whenever we want. He always has an open line of communication with us. Why? Because he's our dad. It's always open. He's always waiting, and he desperately wants that relationship with us. We got to take that step and do it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for teaching us how to pray. This is not something that we're good at, something that we all struggle with. I feel like, I don't know anybody that thinks that they're like super great at praying. But God, we want to be. I mean, most of us in here, like we wanna get there. We just need your help, right? Because we're messed up. That's the problem. And so, God, we ask that you would help us to grow in our relationship with you because you are our dad, and it's something that we were created for. It's something that we somewhere deep inside desperately need. God, we need you. We need your help. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.